welcome everyone here today and welcome everyone to your family. Help us all be blessed and work hard in your name to be good Christians. Amen.
Let's stay standing for the song, Make Me a Servant. We'll sing it two times.
Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak. And may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant. Make me a servant, make me a servant today.
One more time.
Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant, make me a servant, make me a servant today.
Please be seated.
Hello? Oh, okay. It's time for children's stories, so all the children come up and sit in the front row right here because we have a slideshow for you.
You guys need something here. You have to sit on the pins.
Okay, so today we have a slideshow for you of our mission trip. So 2 weeks ago, we left on this mission trip, 23 people, right, Pastor Will? We packed into two vans, and we drove, it seemed like endless hours, to get to New Mexico. And as you see the picture here, that's Tim Swanson riding his horse because we got to see all kinds of cool stuff like Mustangs and horses, and that was awesome. Okay. So Sam Napod had his birthday while we were on the trip, and he was kind of sad because he didn't want to spend it in hot New Mexico. He wanted to be home with his friends and family. But so we made it the most memorable birthday that he could ever have. So we tied him up, and Pastor Will led him to this ranch where the Indian kids were, and we like put him right in the middle, and they circled him with horses and their lassos. And then and then Gabe started screaming out, Sam, use your ninja moves, because he didn't know what was happening. And all of a sudden, a lasso flew out and roped him. And so we decided after Sam was roped that we would all run around just in circles anywhere we could, and they'd chase us around and lasso us. And so that was a lot of fun for us and them. And there's Tim running. There's me running and getting lassoed. And that's the best one, I think, Gabe running and getting lassoed. But it was a lot of fun just overall, just playing with the Indian kids and stuff. And it might have been fun for us, but it was also a blessing to them because they don't always get to do stuff like that. They're kind of isolated, and not a lot of people take the time to spend time with them and like teach them about God or anything, just to be with them. And so they really enjoyed it a lot. And even their mom was telling us how awesome it was that like we came around and hung out with them and stuff. And so remember that it might not seem that God could use you because you're so young, but God can use you in any way possible, so always be willing to help him out. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this awesome day you have given us. Thank you that it's the Sabbath and we get a day of rest, and we get to come to church and learn about you and see all the people we love. Please bless us as we go throughout our day. Thank you for loving us and protecting us. Amen. You can go back to your seats.
It's always an exciting day when you see the father setting the example for his children. Dads, we all need to remember to be that wonderful and positive example for our family and our children. And that goes also with our wives, being that powerful spiritual leader in our homes. Well, today it's my privilege, Leonard. We've talked on the phone, and you have talked even more with Rory and Keen, and how excited you are about making this important decision and making it become a reality on July 2, 2011. Yes. But you know, there's as much joy and excitement as there is here in this congregation today. I would ask you to look heavenward, and as the windows of heaven are open, you can see Jesus, yes, no longer sitting at the right hand of the Father, but he's standing up and just having the loudest and most vibrant welcome to the family greeting to you today in the courts of heaven. So we're going to ask him, through the power of his Holy Spirit, to just continue to lead you closer and closer to him. Satan is going to throw things at you that you can't imagine, none of us can. But you have to remember, you have the armor of God on.
Yeah.
And unless and until, when you wake up in the morning, you put on that armor, you can be attacked.
Yes.
But once the armor is on, he, Jesus, will be there with you 24/7. So it is now my privilege as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Leonard, to now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Gladie, you have been studying the last 4 or more years. Actually, I think it started when you were born. Your mother was teaching you about Jesus. And your Bible lessons have been about how important your walk is with Jesus. And this morning, you have made this commitment to follow Jesus all the way in baptism. And so now, Gladdy, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brian, what a privilege it is for me to be standing here in the baptistry with you. This is a young man who, when I'm talking with his brother, Gladdy, he is interpreting for me. Because Gladdy is just learning English. So it's just been a fascinating journey to watch them interact together and show their love for Jesus together. And the smiles on their faces say it all. Gladdy, are you glad you're making this decision for Jesus? Yes, he has such a soft voice. Well, Gladdy, because you love Jesus, it is my privilege as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ to now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
It's Brian.
I got the names mixed up again. It's Brian that we just baptized. Thank you. Brian, I am so sorry. Will you forgive me?
Yes.
All right. You heard that. That's what grace is all about, isn't it? There may be others in this congregation today who have been struggling with a decision about standing up for Jesus and making him number one in your life. If you are here today and are struggling with that decision, I would invite you to not put that decision off, but to make it. To see Pastor Will or myself, and let's get engaged. Let's make that stand for Jesus so that we can go home soon and be with him forever. Let's pray. Loving Jesus, I pray for your anointing upon these four individuals today. Selena, Brian, Gladdy, and Leonard. Wrap your Holy Spirit around them, in them, fill their hearts, their lives with the outpouring of your Holy Spirit and early and latter rain power. Use them as your witnesses as they reach out to those in their community, to the young people, to the adults, to anyone you place in their pathway. May their faces be aglow with the love and grace and power of you, Jesus, and may their example be so powerful that others will be asking them about how they too can become a member of the family of God. So protect them, empower them, and keep them faithful always. In Jesus' name, amen.
Very impressive. That's what this church is all about. This morning, as I was doing my hair, so you can tell I didn't have much time, I had an epiphany. I knew what the offering was about, and I've done this before, but suddenly it dawned on me, this is maybe the most important offering we take up in this church. And you say, why? Get out, you know, you look at your bulletin, and you say, what's so exciting about that? Well, it's the one offering that you give that stays right here and supports our ministries right here. It provides things for the children's ministries. It provides air conditioning that if we didn't have today, we might not be able to concentrate quite as much on Pastor Will's sermon. It provides so much here, and it stays right here. Now, true, we need to get offerings for tsunami problems, and we have other things, but they all are a distance from us. But what you do today will make a difference here. When a budget is put together, a treasurer gets together, he puts numbers together, and in August or September, see, we just, at the end of June, we passed three-quarters of the way through our financial year. So this and then the last quarter, the treasurer puts together a budget. And unfortunately, he doesn't have the ability to print money or to include phantom income in the budget. He has to depend on what he thinks is going to come from this congregation to pay the bills here. And we're on a cash basis, sort of like you are at home. You can't print money or depend on phantom income either to pay your bills. It's a cash basis. What we get in, we're able to spend. What we don't get in, doesn't get paid, the bills. So I ask you, summertime is a little bit weak here, and our bills go up. Air conditioning, electricity bill spikes in June, July, August, and September. Please remember, be generous, continue what you've been doing, and we'll make it through this year again. Please bow your heads. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for the opportunities you give us to give back to you and to your church a little of what we have. Please bless this offering, multiply it as only you can, and help this to be a good Sabbath day for each of us. Amen.
So it's wonderful to welcome three new brothers and a sister into our church family. And when we think about it, we're looking forward to getting to, although we're celebrating this weekend with Independence Day, our nation, and what a blessing it is to live in this country, but we're really all looking forward to getting to the heavenly country, aren't we? Amen. So our scripture this morning is in Genesis, but I wanted to just take a quick second to share what Mrs. White said in Patriarchs and Prophets about the verses that we're going to read about today and Abraham's experience. She says on page 126, "It was no light test that was thus brought upon Abraham that no small sacrifice was required of him. There were strong ties to bind him to his country, his kindred, and his home. But he did not hesitate to obey the call. He had no question to ask concerning the land of promise, whether the soil was fertile and the climate healthful, whether the country afforded agreeable surroundings and would afford opportunities for amassing wealth. God had spoken, and his servant must obey. The happiest place on earth for him was the place where God would have him to be." So in Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3, I'm reading from the New King James. "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" Let's kneel together where possible as we pray and seek the Lord. Our dear Father in heaven, it's a privilege to come to your throne this morning and know that you're there and you want to hear us seek you out, and that your son Jesus is right there, our advocate and elder brother at your right hand. We're grateful for this great nation that we enjoy, the freedoms of the sacrifices that were made before us, and the wisdom and foresight of those that founded our country to base it on a love and seeking and serving you. We pray that this church and this community can be an example of that spirit, and that we can continue to reach out to show kindness and generousness and understanding for those less privileged and in need. Father, we ask your blessings and that you would grant your wisdom to the leaders of our country, to President Obama and to Governor Brown and those that lead in our community here, who they need it more than ever, with the challenges that are about us economically, with the weather and the calamities and all the things that are going on, and around the rest of the world as well, for that matter, with the wars and difficulties. It's so clear that what you talked about in your word to us in prophecy, that the end time must be near. We need you so much. As we seek you this morning, Father, we're grateful that we can offer you our praises. It's a special morning this morning that we've seen Selena and Leonard and Brian and Gladdy give their lives to you. We pray also for those that are particularly in need with health concerns. We know that Jay and Dee are celebrating an anniversary this weekend, but he's in hospital, and we ask that you'll help the doctors to find what may be going on and be able to diagnose and give care in the way that's needed. And we also pray for Carol Taylor, our elder sister, and ask that you'll help the surgeons to have steady hands and that the procedure on Tuesday will be successful for her shoulder. And all those others that I can't mention specifically, you know the need, Father, and you can draw close where there's hurting and wrap your arms of care about each one. We pray for your forgiveness this morning. We know we live in a world of sin and we fall short, and we need your forgiveness and your grace, and we thank you for it. We also ask for continued faith, that no matter what's going on, that we can trust and know that you are in control and that you love and care for each one of us. Thank you, Father. We ask that you please be with Pastor Will as he brings his word to us, that it will be your words, and that it will touch our hearts, that we'll be open and take them and live them the rest of this coming week and through the rest of our lives until you come. Thanks for hearing our prayer this morning, Lord. We're grateful for so many things and ask and know that you will answer according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, happy Sabbath, everyone. I must say, it's good to be home. We had a wonderful time on the mission trip, but there's something about being home and back in your home church family. We are very blessed to be back and safe. Most of us are on one piece. We had a few little boo-boos along the way. But all in all, God is to be praised. And God did wonderful things on the trip, in us and through us. Join me, if you would, as we approach the Father again and ask for his blessings. Father in heaven, as we come to you this morning, giving you our love, our praise, thank you, Lord, for your blessings, your presence, as you've looked forward, Lord, to this day for some time. Lord, as I just review and go over what you've done on this past mission trip and open up your word, we ask for your Spirit, Lord, to do your special work, to touch our hearts. Instead of hearing myself, Lord, we want to hear you through your word and through what you've done, Lord, in this mission trip. We thank you, we praise you, and we're happy to be with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just going to start by giving you a day-by-day, not an hour-by-hour, but a day-by-day plan of what the mission trip was. I know that some of you might not know what we did or how long we were gone. So I'm going to clue you in on what this trip was about. For those of you who don't know where we went, laser, there we go. This is New Mexico. The mission that we serviced was La Vida Mission in northwestern New Mexico. If you see this green kind of speck up here, that's Chaco Canyon National Park. And the mission is about, I think, 9 to 10 miles as the crow flies down a river across from it. So that's where we were. Now, if you were paying attention to the news, you might have heard or seen news that Arizona was on fire when we were leaving, right? Well, we prayed about that. We didn't want to have smoke the whole time we were there. And you know, the only time we saw smoke was that Sabbath evening we pulled up to the mission, and it was really high up in the clouds, way up there. And the rest of the time, we really never saw the smoke. So God blessed, first off, on that account. I'll give you a little background on the mission. This mission has been going for, I believe, over 30-some-odd years. It's a mission that's not part of the conference. It's really not sponsored at all. It's run and operated by donations. It does have one church, the Farmington Church, which is just up the road about 60-some-odd miles. It's kind of the mother church of sorts. And they have a board that's associated with the mission. But these people are really out on their own. And everybody that's there is a volunteer. Most are there now are retired, and they are there on their own dime. And I think as of the last year or so, what stipends, if any, they get is only a few $100 a month to cover food and electricity. This is a genuine mission here in the United States. And the kids really didn't know what to expect until they got out there. On the way out, we stopped by there's a Holbrook Mission in Arizona. Are you familiar with Holbrook? An awesome mission. It's a K-12 high school whole setup. It's an amazing facility and do wonderful service. So we stopped by there first to show them that mission complex. And then we went to La Vida. And immediately they could see what difference there was, not just in the area, but in the facilities as well. This mission is in constant need of help in any types of monies, materials, or frankly, any kind of labor you can provide, they'll take. So here we are leaving Camarillo. We left the 16th of the Thursday morning. We tried to get away as early as we could. We got off pretty good. Our next stop after Camarillo Church, after leaving, was the Simi Church and San Fernando Academy. This was a combined group. We had 23 people total, but it was mixed up between, I think, four churches. It was Simi Church, our church, some from Northridge Church, San Fernando Spanish. Two academies were represented, Newbury Park and San Fernando Academy. And the vans that we used on this trip, one was from San Fernando Academy, and another was from a church member at Simi Valley Church. If it wasn't for those donations, this type of trip just can't be done. Too expensive to rent, and many thanks go out to the school and to the gentleman who let us use the vehicles. Our first stop after getting out of California was the Petrified Forest. That's in Arizona. It's a convenient stop along the way because you can see it from your car. You can kind of drive through the park. So to break up the drive and the monotony of going out that far, we wanted to break it up for the kids and let them see a bit of what's to see in Arizona. But I found out quickly that this group of kids, when you go to any area that's got either a restroom or a shop, these guys like to shop a lot. We pulled up at the Petrified Forest where they have a museum. Now, granted, they did go to the museum, but where were they the most of the time? They were in the gift shop, getting gifts and some waters and stuff. AJ likes to be dramatic, so he wanted this picture taken. This is on one of the overlooks in the, I think, the Painted Desert. Sabbath. We got to La Vida Friday night at a pretty good time, and we bedded down for the night, found our location, and we woke up the next morning and had church with the people at the mission, and our kids led out worship. They asked me to do a sermonette, and it was wonderful, and we had potluck together. Oh, by the way, that Friday night we pulled up, we were planning on doing dinner ourselves. We had plans for haystacks. But when we arrived, the mission group said that they had a little bit of food for us, and that turned out to be a lot of food. A lot of great food as well. If Alex is here, if he wants to overcome shyness, he can explain what was there to eat that night. One of the ladies, the house dorm for the boys, she made handmade gluten, adobo. It was out of this world. It just hit the spot just right. It was just the right way to arrive at your destination, have a full stomach, and we had great fellowship too. It was wonderful. So that was the Sabbath luncheon. We took a Sabbath hike. Just north of the mission is what they call their own private petrified forest. This whole area is amazing to explore. It's just endless. There's all kinds of fossil fields to find and explore. One of the days, I don't have pictures of it, but just above the mission, about, I think it's a mile and a half hike, there's an ancient seafloor. And on that plain, you can pick up shark's teeth, petrified shark's teeth. Now, it's been so many years that people have been going out that as time goes on, it's a little bit harder to find. So what we did was we made shaker screens, you know, that the archaeologists use often, and we found some pretty big ones out there. But this is how we spent our Sabbath, resting and relaxing, because they really didn't know what they were in for come Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I had a whole plan worked out for them for work. Sunday, we asked the people there whether should we start on Monday or Sunday to work. And their advice was to, if weather was good, we should go out to the planned adventure that we had for that time when we were there, Chaco Canyon. Chaco Canyon is one of our nation's most unique and amazing national parks. If you've never been there, make it on, you know, put it on your bucket list. This is a place to go. It's amazing. What it is, it's a series of pueblos, frankly cities, that are, some of them are about 1,000 years old. Cities that were so large, they housed a couple hundred people per city. And they had ruins that are up to 5 stories high. And they're all made out of little pieces of sandstone, some as big as maybe an inch square. Amazing stuff. But on the way out there, we kind of got into a habit of trying to identify some of the local wildlife, mustangs. And one of the young men on the trip, Timmy, was enthralled. On the way out to Chaco, we came across wild mustangs. If you could see them, they kind of blend in a bit. Anyway, they were on the one side of a wash. To cross the wash, we noticed that there was an odd-looking horse. He was up to his chest in sand. We didn't quite figure out what was going on, so we decided to park on the far side of the wash, and what you could do was you walked across over to the ledge that overlooked the river, and this is what we saw. wild mustangs paw out, or hoof out, I should say, parts of the river to get water. And we probably spent 10 or 15 minutes there, and the horses were totally wild. Kelly was concerned because she thought we were going to get stampeded or such, but we were above them, so we were safe. And the horses were really curious about us. They took off around, got some distance between us, and they started neighing at us, trying to get us to take off. But we noticed that there was two herds, and that some of them were kind of nipping and fighting with each other. And the kids were ecstatic. This was some of the most adventurous times that they had had on the trip, if not part of their life. It was amazing. Here's Chaco Canyon, parts of it. And this is Sunday again. Everybody recognize Cynthia? All right. Uh-oh. This is a really neat window. It's going through a corner of a wall, and AJ was adventurous. He got up on my shoulders, and we wanted to get a picture through the window. I haven't got the pictures yet. And to give you a bit of the scope of this is Gabe. Raise your hand if you guys know Gabe. He's a pretty tall guy, right? He's about, I should have put up another picture to give you the depth. This city complex is, I think, about 250 yards long and about 150 wide. And they think it housed about anywhere from 800 to 1,000 people. It's amazing. The work. What did we go out there to do? A lot of people have asked us, well, what are you doing out there? If you've not familiar with La Vida Mission, you would think maybe that there's always some kind of construction projects. Well, yes, if you've got the funds and you've got the money, you can go build them a building. They won't say no. But the area where they live is a very harsh climate. There's always winds, and with those winds, there's sand. So buildings take a beating. And one thing that's always on their work to-do list is roofing. Now, we didn't get to do roofing because there were some other immediate needs that they had. So I'll go down the list with you. We help people move from one housing unit to another. Volunteers come and go. Turnover rate is somewhat high. And when one person moves out of an ideal home, other people want to get into it. Again, most of these volunteers are in retirement age, and there's nobody around to help. And so when we asked, what could we do to help, right off the bat, they said, help us move. Give us some of your strong kids. And Monday was a very busy day for a certain crew of guys. They were moving all their heavy furniture and all that stuff from one housing unit to another, cleaning yards, the greenhouses and property. Since the wind is so bad, anything that's loose or not bolted down gets blown away. Trash, etc. There's always need of them helping out, picking up stuff. We cleaned and we organized storage rooms and their public laundry. Even if you've got windows with window seals on it, the wind has a way of getting dirt through anything. You must clean your kitchen at least 2 or 3 times a week because there's always a layer of dust constantly. They go through vacuums like Kleenex, too. The dust burns up the motors. Not the belts. The motors themselves just seize up. We painted the school's bathrooms, boys and girls. We'll show you pictures of that. We cleaned their kitchen and their calf. We scrubbed their chairs. We scrubbed their floors. We've rebuilt 2 swamp cooler stands. We've got some pictures of that. If you're not familiar, well, I'm sure there's some people in here who remember swamp coolers. You guys remember those things? That's the only piece of cooling equipment that'll stand up to the environment out there. Air conditioners can't take that kind of ingestion of sand. The only thing that'll stand up to it is a belt-driven, squirrel-fanned swamp cooler. That's all they have to keep cool. The stands that these swamp coolers were on were over 20 years old, and they were starting to sink into the sand and fail. So they needed help. We came with it. We built a bookcase in the school classroom. Before we left, I had asked if there was any specific donations that they needed for the school, and they said, school books. And I'm glad we didn't take any, because when we got there, one classroom, which is a 30 by 30 room, was filled waist high with books. It was an immense job. And you know how many volunteers were going to be working on that one room? One lady, a retired teacher, and she was just about in tears. I can't do all of this. So we helped her out. We helped organize about half of the books for her. And with the shop teacher and artisan teacher there, I believe the crew was Sam and Timmy, helped build a bookcase that spanned half the room. And we also, I talked about organizing the books for the school. We worked Monday through Wednesday. Oh, I'll get to it. These are the bathrooms. This is credit to Alex and Kelly. They got the... And Kim. There was another... Yes, that's right. Kim came and helped. We didn't just want to paint bathroom doors a certain color. We wanted to make this spruced up. This is elementary kids. So on some of these visits that we went to the national parks, we got pamphlets of some of the native paintings and artwork. And what they did was they put it in their bathrooms. Everybody loved the girls' bathroom there at the mission, but the artisan teacher, I don't know how he expressed himself. I wasn't there, but the look on his face was, basically to the boys' bathroom was, that's bright. Very good, very better than it was. Bright. But the boys are going to love it. And that took them, I think, a solid 2 days to paint. It was quite a bit of work. These are the swamp coolers. This one services the cafeteria and kitchen. What it does is it just goes into the side of the wall, and they've got a divide. One half of the ducting goes into the kitchen, and the other goes into the cafeteria. That was about to fall. So Dr. Popkov led out a team on Monday and erected that one. This is for the boys' dorm. And at first, we thought it was going to be a really quick project. It looked maybe about a three-hour thing to do. But as soon as we got near the thing, the mud was about 2.5 feet thick. My foot sunk up to my calf. Whoa! What had happened was the plumbing on this had about 3 leaks. There was a leak in the pan. There was a leak in the water supply. The leak was so bad, it was eroding crumbling the foundation of the dorm. So what we had to do was we had to dig all the mud out, and we scrounged around the campus looking for flat sandstone pieces. And what we did was we laid the sandstone pieces in there, and we found up at Farmington something that would be stable enough to stand on or sit on the flat sandstone pieces so that if there was ever more water in the future, it could dry out. It wouldn't rot out. And to keep everything from jostling around, we poured concrete around it. And it might not look pretty, but that thing is sturdy. You could probably hit it with a car and you'd hurt the car at this point. This is my project that I let out. This took a day and a half to do. It might not look like a mess because this is the aftershot. But they had, for I think 3.5 years, a huge pile of scrap wood. Whenever a truck comes in with food, they keep all the pallets. They use the pallets to, you know, use for firewood. Everything there is used in some way, shape, or form. But because of how much work it takes to keep cutting up pallets and all that scrap wood, they had let it pile up. So I took a crew of, I think, 3 kids, and I had 1 scale saw, and I stood there for between 2 days, about 14 hours, sawing wood. And with that crew, we went through... I would say that the pile of wood was from around this trash can beyond this photo over here. And we cut it down to nice little pieces for them to put in their fireplaces, probably about a 10x8 cord of wood. And they were ecstatic. And I was trying to, some of the kids that were helping us, they saw other kids doing what they saw as lighter work. They were, you know, in the shade or in the building. And they said, man, so when are we getting help? I said, these kids were from, I think, Simi Church. And I said, do you remember this morning when we made up our work crews? You know where they are, and you know what they're doing, so what are you really saying? this is hard work. It's hot. It's in the sun. I said, now, you've seen all the volunteers at the mission, right? Yeah, yeah. Could you imagine them cutting up firewood later this winter in the cold wind? Oh, that'd be terrible. It would be terrible. I wouldn't want to do it. And one of the boys had said earlier, we've come to the mission and we're not helping the Navajo people. We're only helping the missionaries. And that was about, I think that was early Monday morning. By the end of our stay at the mission, it finally clicked. We came to help. We came to be a blessing, not just to the Navajos, but to the missionaries who are there. This is a lot of what initially they thought is menial chores. We're doing their work for them. We're cutting their firewood. We're fixing their air conditioning or swamp coolers. But they got the immensity of what it meant to be there. It's a harsh environment. Everything takes energy to do. And the young kids finally clicked it as well. Oh, these people aren't as young as we are. It's twice as hard, maybe, for them to get out and to do these chores. If we take away that work from them, there's that much more time, energy, and opportunity for them to minister to the Navajo people. And that's when it clicked. Oh, we are a blessing to them. And indeed they were. Well, I was planning on working them for 4 days, but the sun and the wind was so much that I don't think we could have done 4 days. We did 3 days, Monday through Wednesday. But in the nighttime, I think it was each evening, we had a chance to socialize with the Navajo neighbors, the kids down the road. We had worship. We asked them to join us, but they were kind of shy at first. But they certainly joined us for basketball. And what they call basketball there is called res ball. Now, you'll have to ask one of the boys what that meant, but it meant a little more full contact basketball. They play a little rougher than most. But they had so much fun. I think they played close to 11:20 one night. After a full day of work, I think that was Tuesday, I couldn't believe that our kids had that much energy to do it. I was gassed. And Sam did have a proper birthday. He did have a birthday cake. Oddly enough, though, he only had 16 years. He had two 16 birthdays, apparently. I didn't get there yet. We had two birthdays on the trip. There was a 16-year-old girl who had a birthday, and we figured, I thought they were the same age. I was wrong. So Kelly fixed it. We put the 16 candles on, and then in Skittles, plus one. Happy birthday, Sam. So he had a blessed birthday, and I guarantee you he'll never forget his birthday. Oh, one other thing I should add. We didn't just play basketball with the kids. We one evening, when I was trying to plan that birthday out with the kids' mom and everything, I asked the boys, what do you do for fun? I said, we shoot each other with BB guns. I said, I don't think I can get my kids to do that. What else? Paintball. Nope, we don't have paintball guns, no masks. And they said, airsoft? It's basically a plastic BB. Nope, we're not going to play airsoft with you. And the littlest guy, he said, what about water balloons? And I had brought water balloons out because on the last day I wanted to have a water balloon fight with everybody. So the idea was to break up into two teams, and we had a water balloon fight on Wednesday with the kids. Unfortunately, we didn't bring enough. The fight only lasted one round, and we were all out. And it was so hot that AJ got a bucket of water, and we started dumping water on each other. It was quite fun. But you know who else joined the water fight? The kid's uncle. And it was really fun to see that. He had fun with us. We really did interact with who was there available. And we made, Brett touched on it in the children's story. The mom came up to me while we were at their ranch, and she says, thank you guys for doing this, because these kids never get to interact like you've done tonight with other Adventist kids. The Adventist world to them is just La Vida. They don't know what else is really out there. And for you to come in and to have fun with them like that, that's real a blessing that I can't really express to you. So our kids did a lot. And if anybody would ask, I'm sure they'd tell you that it wasn't a trip that they expected. This kind of a trip isn't your average mission trip. That was intentional on my part. These trips are an adventure. It's a journey. It's not just a road trip. It's a little bit of everything. I'll get more into that in the sermon part of it. Grand Canyon, we made it Thursday night. That was a long drive as well. We had church, Sabbath, at the canyon's edge. If you guys go there this summer, be sure to stop at their new visitor center. And they've built a new amphitheater that overlooks the canyon rim. And that's where we took our chance to have church. Beautiful setting. I can't think of a better place to have a church service. This was our hike, another Sabbath evening afternoon hike. We took them down to Horseshoe Mesa, which is a mesa that's halfway down into the canyon. I thought that would be an easy enough hike. But as we discovered as soon as we hit the trail was very steep. And the farther you go down in the canyon, the hotter it gets. I think we started off at about 80, and I'm guessing it was about 108 where we had lunch. And when we got back, this is where we stopped. It's about midway into the canyon. Gorgeous views. Everybody was smiles because it was over. Almost. Now, I mentioned that we all got back safe and sound, and we did principally. That Saturday night, one of our boys, Gabe, hit a nail with his foot. He was gathering some firewood, and that made for a long night. But otherwise, we had really no serious injuries on the trip. God really did bless. And let's go to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Got a few minutes remaining. I'm going to focus on verse 3. Genesis 12, 1 through 3, but I'm just going to read verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The ministry theme of the trip was discipleship. For the kids, and the vespers that we had for them and the worships were about some aspect of discipleship. And one of them was last Sabbath was about being a blessing to others. Disciples are called to be a blessing. Abraham was called to be a source of blessing for the whole world. When God calls us to be his follower, his child, his disciple, his intentions are to use you for good, to be a blessing to others. And on this trip, the kids got to see what little blessings they were to each other unfold. Anytime that you do something to bless somebody, it has beautiful effects in their lives and on yours. This mission group had a very unique dynamic. In that when they all finally got together, not everybody knew each other. I was the only person that knew everybody. And that was quite fun to see. My prayer had been for months leading up, Lord, do something special on this trip. Because we're all one family. There's one family of God. There's one church. And we're getting a bunch of your kids who don't know each other. And we're going to go on a big, big road trip. This we ate at Del Taco at Tuba City, Arizona, just before the Grand Canyon. And one of the girls brought this up. She said, Pastor Will, look at this, look at this. This will make you laugh. And she gave me the hot sauce packet, and it was road trip. And that sparked my thinking of it. Boy, that's probably a pretty good sermon bit. Think about this. How many road trips can you think of off the top of your head in the Bible? And they might not have had vehicles, but they had feet and they had animals. Let's see. Abraham, did he have a road trip? You bet. The children of Israel, Moses. Almost every character that you can think of, just about, had a big road trip. The disciples. The road to Emmaus. God uses these experiences of you being away from your home, your bubble. There you go, Joseph. There's a lot of road trips in the Bible, aren't there? And there's so many beautiful things that God does when you're away from home. You're vulnerable. You're stressed. This mission trip on the leadership aspect was quite stressful. I won't go into details, but it took a lot out of me. I met my limits, and that's good. Because when you meet your limits, you meet Jesus and his provisions, and you know that he wants you to go further. He always calls you for more, and it's good for you to get to those limits. You got to get to your limit, because life gets better when you go beyond them. And as a disciple of God, he's always going to be calling you to your limits. He wants you to go experience him in new ways. This past Sabbath, when we had church, I asked the kids, I said, have you been stressed out on this trip? Yes, we've been stressed out. Have you been upset with each other? You bet we've been upset with each other. Have you been upset with me? Yes, we've been upset with you. Have you been tired? Yes, we've been tired. Have you met your limits? Yes, amen, we've met our limits. I said, good. This is part of discipleship for you. God, on your journey, your relationship is never stagnant. He doesn't want you to just be in your bubble, your comfort zone. God loves to take you out of comfort zones. I believe God, and you can see this, I think it's evident in Jesus' ministry with his disciples, he loves experiential learning all the time with his disciples. Where is he with them? He's out in the field. He's in the towns. He's in the boats. He's doing things where people are, outside. He uses the experiences and materials that they're familiar with to get to them, get to their hearts, get to their heads. And I think that happened on this trip. All the kids who went and all the adults, I'll confess, we had our bubbles popped in a big way. It was good. Now, initially, one girl, she came to me privately when we finally had a break it was a Friday at the Grand Canyon. She said, Pastor Will, confidentially, but is this trip going the way you thought it would? I kind of smirked. I said, yeah, and more. I didn't expect God to be pushing us this far, but I'm kind of looking forward to what's going to happen. I don't know. It's a beautiful thing when you get out of your comfort zone with people that you're part of God's family, but you haven't known them yet. At the end of the trip, all the kids became fast friends. I mean, they're bosom buddies now. It was amazing to see. From different churches, from different schools, they all found out, man, we've got cool friends in our conference. Yeah, you do. And I think they got a taste of it with the Navajo kids as well, because they were playing res ball real good, real quick. They were getting roped. I think we got some videos from some of the kids to see just how fun that was for them. We didn't do that just for 10 minutes or 20 minutes or a half hour or an hour. It went over an hour. They wouldn't stop. They loved it. And the Navajo boys just, you keep going. We'll keep coming after you. They loved it. There was a unique bonding that happened. Think about your own lives. How many road trips have you had with God in that sense? Has he really taken you recently out of your comfort zone? It's not comfortable to do that, is it? It really isn't. It's not fun to get pushed to your limits. It's not fun to find out how angry you can get, how stressed out you can get. The kids will testify. I got mad a couple times. First night, really tested my patience. Just side note. We were running 3 hours late, and I knew what that meant. We were going to have to set up camp with tents in Williams KOA. Light was going out, and I didn't think. My suspicion was most of the kids had never set up a tent before. I was right, unfortunately. It took over 2.5 hours to set up camp. The kids were getting restless. Man, we're hungry, we're tired, it's windy, it's cold, this is a bummer. And I agreed. Yep, this is bad. This isn't good. We've got to push through this. It tested my patience with the kids. It really did. But you know what? You know how fast they set up camp when we were at the Grand Canyon? About 35 minutes. They were pros. It was a good thing. It was good for me to get stressed, pushed like that, because now I guess I can take more. If I can take more for God and His people, that's a good thing. And as disciples, it's something that we've got to learn to enjoy. Learn to love this trip with God, because who you started off as is not who you're going to end up being. You're going to be changed into His likeness, and it's going to be something that I pray that we learn to love and to enjoy being a blessing to others, and enjoy telling people how fun it is to walk with God. I don't think I have any other pictures. Let me double check. I think that's it. Well, that's a nice picture to leave with. Taco Bell wrote your packet. But join me if you would, if this won't necessarily be benediction, but let's pray. Let's have a special prayer. I want to pray for everybody that went on the trip, and also for the people at the Navajo Mission at La Vida. They need our prayers as much as they need any kind of money or materials. It's hard work out there, and they need our intercessory prayers. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for all that you are to us. You're a father, you're a savior, you're a king, you're a brother, you're a friend. We thank you, Lord, for what you did on this mission trip. Thank you so much. Thank you for changing my life and changing the lives, Lord, of everybody who went. My prayer is, Lord, that our help, our blessing that we were, Lord, by your grace and power, was a good thing for the people at La Vida Mission. May we have relieved them of some burden just in living there. And fill them with your love, your patience, your joy as they minister, Lord, to the Navajo people. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go. Everybody who went on the trip that's here, I'd like for you to stand with me in the back, and so everybody can see who went from this trip on the mission trip. Is that all right? Okay.
Excellent. Well, let's stand and sing. Make Me a Blessing. There's a little yellow sheet in your bulletin that has that song on it. If you're not acquainted with it, it's right there. In the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing. Trust Him if only you prove through every moment you live. Make me a blessing, make me a blessing. Out of my life, may Jesus shine.
best was given to you and your need. Love as the Master loved you. Be to the helpless the helper in need. Unto your mission. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine. Make me a blessing. Oh, Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to some.
Loving Father, indeed, make us a blessing. Send us, Lord, to people and to individuals, Lord, that are in need of your touch. And Lord, prepare us to be a blessing in any way, shape, or possible. If you need to pop our bubble, Lord, have your way. Have your way, Lord, with our lives so that we can bless others and that you can bring your kingdom home. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.